Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Those of you who don't know me, my name is Israel Nelson. I pastor the Messianic congregation here that meets on Saturdays, 10:30. We have our service, and occasionally it is my wonderful pleasure and privilege to join everybody on a Sunday. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. I want to say, as I was walking out, I was wondering, you know, how it came to me to preach on Father's Day. And then I realized I have 9 children. So everything makes sense. You know, the scripture says that our children are like arrows in our quiver. Like, I don't know if you know what a quiver is, but it's like the place where you put the arrows in a archer. That our children are like arrows in our quiver, and it says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And I want to say this, on Father's Day, it is my heart as a dad that my kids, I'm going to draw them out of my quiver, and I'm going to shoot them, and they are going to hit the target that God has placed for them. Amen? Come on, parents. Amen? I'm going to pull them out of my quiver, I'm going to shoot them, they're going to hit the target that God has set for them. And I was thinking about us as a congregation as I was coming out, that God has on his back a quiver. And it's got like a bee on it in this house. Because everything does. Everything's got a bee on it. And in his house, God's wearing a quiver with a bee on it. And it is full of arrows. And your heavenly Father is like, whoom, got me a little Tim here.
Praise God.
And we're going to hit the target that he has set for us as a house here. We are going to hit the target that our Father has set for us as his children. Amen. Can you see yourself? Just look around and see all the arrows in God's quiver. Look at the arrows in God's quiver. Can you see yourself as an arrow ready to be used by your Father, a quiver? It says in Psalm 45 that the king's arrows are in the heart of his enemy. Do you believe that God is going to take down his enemies through his children, that we are arrows in his quiver? This is a dad. There's a couple things I want ingrained in my children, something I want them to hear from me. One is, I believe in you. I am for you. Because you're my kid. And the other is, I want you to do everything that God made you to do. All of it. As we think about the hero that is on our purpose today, the hero that we're talking about today is Gideon. Gidon in Hebrew. I thought it was really great because Gidon was actually my dad's name. I was like, what? I got to talk about Gideon today? That's amazing. Hallelujah. A little divine coincidence right there. And I was thinking about this statement that God makes when he begins Gideon in his calling at the beginning. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about yourselves as being Gideons. I want you to think about yourself as being the heroes of Scripture, because who knows that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is still calling people, that his eyes are still going to and fro throughout the earth, seeing who's on my team. So I want you to see yourself in Gideon this morning, and as God is about to launch him into his purpose and in his calling, he speaks to him and he says something. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty hero. Gibor is the word in Hebrew, Gibor. Everybody say Gibor. Nice. Nice. Good job. Gibor is a hero. In the Hebrew, in the sense of hero in Hebrew from the verb litgaber, is to overcome. I'm an overcomer. Come on. Now, you didn't pay enough for me to sing this morning. I'm sorry. to overcome, to persevere. Heroes face challenges, but they overcome. So I want you to get a sense of this is the launching word that God speaks over Gideon's life as he's about to into battle. And I think about Jesus, man, the apostle and high priest of our faith, Jesus, when he's about to be launched into battle, do you remember what God speaks over him at his baptism? This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. That is the launching point. God sees Gideon. He sees him and he knows he needs to hear it too. But I feel like the Lord is encouraging his people this morning in the callings that he's placed on your life. We sang it this morning. And we don't coordinate these things. Maybe we should, I don't know, but we don't. We were singing this morning, I am available, you have my yes, I will say yes to you. And I just want to tell you this, that to the extent that is true, you will accomplish the calling of God on your life. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Get me an arrow. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, this is Isaiah. Here I am. Send me. I love Isaiah. Here I am, send me. I was recently at a conference, and there was a lady that was ministering there with her two adult children, son and a daughter, and she was telling her story, and she was ministering at this conference to a bunch of pastors, and she was telling her story that she was homeless with her kids. These two kids, they're up there ministering to everybody. So we were homeless, and God had them. It brought them to a place where they were traveling internationally, all over the world, ministering. And somebody asked her and said, how do you get from being homeless with your kids, single mom, into ministering all over the world? She said, I don't know, I just kept saying yes. I just kept saying, here I am, send me. Oh, you need an arrow? Arrow here. You need someone to overcome? Gibor here. Here I am, send me. And I say this, many times we can look at our situation and feel like, yeah, I'm not qualified. And I want to tell you this, God just loves picking the unqualified. If you're unqualified and you don't, you better hide because God's going to come and get you. There's no one he likes using more than the unqualified. I want to read this passage together from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29. It says, for consider your calling. And God called you and he saw you and said, I want to send them. I want to use them. When he called you, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the insignificant things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So that what? No human may boast before God. When you're an arrow, nobody's like, oh man, did you see how good that arrow flies? Everything's about the archer. And God just loves to use you. I saw a cartoon once. It was a Robin Hood cartoon. They had Disney made it. And I don't know if you remember this, but he like takes his arrow out of his quiver to like, you know, split the arrow. You know this Robin Hood thing where he splits the arrow, right? And the one he pulls out, it's like broken and tied together and stuff like that. He's like, I'm so good, I can use this arrow. God loves using the small, the weak, the discarded, the overlooked. He loves it, loves it. You're discarded, overlooked, and weak. You got a target on your back. God's like, oh, I was looking for somebody just like you. Yeah, but God, I stutter. Perfect. But I'm too young. Oh, good. That's going to work out just right. I love that Jesus is known not as Jesus of Bethlehem, but Jesus of Nazareth. Is what good thing could come from Nazareth? Nazareth was the backwaters. Man, you wanted to come from Jerusalem. This was a time when people cared about what city they came from. And he's Jesus from backwaters Podunk. That's what Jesus of Nazareth is. God loves picking people that nobody saw it coming. So he sees Gideon in this place. Nobody sees this coming. Let's read Gideon's story here, his backstory. God has called his people, and I want you to think about your origin story as I read this. When I think about heroes, man, they all got an origin story. How did you get that? Where did it all begin? So we get to read Gideon's origin story here together. I want to do this together, so please open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you, then take your neighbor's Bible. Judges chapter 6, and it says, starting in verse 11, the background here is that the book of Judges, the people of Israel, they're in the land. Joshua brought them in, the inheritor, and they're in the land, but they cannot keep themselves from serving other gods. They just fall into idolatry over and over again because they are led away by the gods of the land, and God sends other armies and other nations in order to discipline them. Who's grateful for the discipline of God? Come on, Father's Day, right? Like, I'm so grateful for a father that disciplines us. And God sends these different armies to discipline the nation of Israel, these different nations. And then they cry out to God. They're in trouble. And God will get you to a place where you cry out to him. He loves you that much. And they cry out to him, and then he sends a deliverer. He sends the judges, these gibors, these heroes he sends to them over and over. And Gideon is one of these. And so the Midianites were the army that was coming against him at this point, the Gideonites, the Amalekites. And it says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midians. He's in a place of weakness. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, this is it. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Arrow in his quiver. And he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house. And God said, that's just perfect. Why do you think I found you in this wine press? But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to the Lord. And I'll just tell you this. He, he goes and he obeys this thing, but he does it at night because he's afraid. He doesn't want to get in trouble. And he pulls down these altars and he makes the sacrifice to the Lord. And the men get up in the morning and they're super mad about it. And they say, hey, we got to kill Gideon. And because he teared down the Baal and the Asherah. And then his dad has a really great dad moment. And as I was reading, I was like, man, this is a good Father's Day moment that Joash, Gideon's dad, has. So I just read that. It says, then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die. He has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah, which is beside it. And Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is God, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend for himself because he has torn down his altar. I love this moment when somebody comes to his defense. Amen. And I think about, you know, Joash, man, he could have been upset, right? Gideon, you wrecked the altar. Where's my bull? Right? Like, this could have been, come on, dads, you know how it is, right? Like, why are you playing with my tools? You should know how it is. And he doesn't do this. He cares more for his son than his reputation, than what other people are thinking. Have you ever struggled to care about what other people think more than you care about your own family? And he doesn't. He's like, cares more about his son. He's like, no, uh-uh. And he goes to bat for his son. I love this moment. And God gives him wisdom on how to speak to the people. Look, you're all upset about Baal because he's what? God, right? Then let Baal contend for himself. Can you see the wisdom that God gives to people that stand in the gap for other people? I believe that God will meet you. I don't know what Joash was thinking that morning when he got up. But I'll tell you, when he stood in the gap for his son, there was a wisdom on how to intercede for his boy. I want to finish this here. It says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites, the sons of the east, assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. This is probably my favorite part of the passage, because this is where this origin story, his superpower comes on him. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Oh man, when I read that, I just like, oh God, that's our superpower, amen? Like, you don't need gamma rays, and you don't need a yellow sun, and you don't need a green ring. I don't even know where everybody gets all this stuff from. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you. I love it. This is one of the ways that it describes what happens with Samson in his life. I'm talking super strength. It says the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Oh, man. You think the Spirit of the Lord can come on you? Arrows in his quiver. Amen? Arrows in his quiver. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he blew a trumpet, and he called the people together, and they came. So I want to ask a couple questions and things that I want us to meditate on out of this story. One, who believes in you? Who believes in you? Who's for you? Who's on your side? Who's in your corner? Who's coming to you and saying, mighty warrior, valiant hero, I'm with you? I want to encourage you. This is for some of you, maybe there's some people that come to your mind and you're like, yeah, they're for me. They're in my corner. They believe in me. And praise God, in this house, I know there's people that are cheering. We cheer for each other. It's like one of the things we are so good at is cheering for each other. Yeah, praise God. So we are a rowdy crowd, you know? I was going to talk about the Phoenix Suns, but I'm not going to. But I just say that in this house, hallelujah, we are a rowdy crowd. Amen. We're cheering for each other. But I want to tell you this. When everybody turns... Oh, somebody's like, Suns? Come on, what? Hurry up, Pastor, where there's games on today. When everybody turns away from you, there is somebody still in your corner. Though your mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Your spouse doesn't believe in you. Your kids abandon you. There is still somebody in your corner. And your accomplishing his calling is grounded in how much you believe that. So let's read from Romans chapter 11. 31 through 39, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Yeah, that might be like one of the only verses you need. Put that on your refrigerator. Write that in soap on your mirror. Hallelujah. If God, who's for you? Come on. Who is for you? This is a participatory kind of thing. I ask the question and you answer the question. Let's be clear. Who is for you? Who is for you? Oh, I like it. Who is for you? Then who can be against you? That's the one question you have to answer. Because it answers everything else. Who is for you? If God is for us, who can be against us? How do you know he's for you? How do you know he's for you? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How do you know he's for you? His son. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who justifies you? Who justifies you? Who justifies you? I tell you, there's a real temptation that we feel often in life to justify ourselves. But we deceive ourselves. You see, because he is, because of Jesus and his death on the cross, God is both just and the justifier of those who believe. He justifies you through his son. Jesus, it says, the one who is holy and makes holy are the same family. This is in Hebrews. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Because he makes you holy. The one who made you holy, who justifies you? Come on, who justifies you? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather was raised, who has the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who's in your corner? Who's praying for you? Jesus. Who's praying for you right now? God is fighting for us. God is on our side. I can't. It's too much. You can't contain it all. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or Midianites or Amalekites? It says, but in all these things, we are overwhelming conquerors. We are heroes. That's what it is. In all these things, we're heroes. Why? Through him who loved us. What grounds your calling in God is his love for you. His calling on your life. Man. Oh, get this. I pray you get this in the name of Jesus. When I think about what it takes to kind of go after the purposes of God, there are things that we have to be willing to do. Remember how many times you're willing to say yes? And one of the things you have to say yes to is a yes to breaking with the people that you care about their opinion. All right, so Gideon, man, when he is called, he's got to say, I got to reject, you know, all of the things that my society is doing right now. They're worshiping Baal, Asherah, my dad is. I got to kill his bull and chop down his idols. I've got to be willing to break with these things. I've got to be willing to be rejected by man so I can be accepted by God. Two. And I thought about, you know, somebody that I admire is a man named Rabbi Leopold Cohen. He's a Hungarian Jew, came over to America, and he's a rabbi. And he walks by in New York, he hears the people, the gospel being preached in Yiddish. Right, so this is the, you know, what Jewish people in Europe speak Yiddish, and he goes and he hears the gospel in Yiddish, and then he doesn't like it. He's super mad. He's super mad, but then the guy who is preaching, he gets together with him later on. He gives him the New Testament in Hebrew, and he reads it, and the Lord convicts him as he's looking through the passages in the Scripture, brings him to Malachi, that he has come, the one who the Lord appears will suddenly come to his temple, has come and arrived in Jesus. And he just has this Gideon moment of God saying, hey, it's him, it's Jesus. And he's like, whoa, it's Jesus. And he gets radically saved. But then he wants to reach his people. And you might not know this, but believing in Jesus is not popular in Jewish society. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but that's the truth. And it says, one afternoon he said, I went to deliver a New Testament at a house. This is one of his accounts of this interaction, then trying to bring the gospel to Jewish people. I went to deliver a New Testament at the house where it had been requested, and when I arrived, a powerful man fell upon me, first battering me with his fists and then jumping upon me with his feet, and finally took hold of my ears, and lifting my head, he began to knock it repeatedly against the hard floor, all the while intoning in Hebrew, these ears which heard from Sinai that we must have no strange gods, and which now listen to the Christian idols, must be pulled out. And he's yanking on his ears as he's banging his head on the ground. Are we willing to break with everything that the world wants to tell us and go outside of the camp and be misunderstood and maligned and hated and mistreated and rejected and called traitors? Because Rabbi Cohen, he was called a traitor. I don't know how you feel, man. It's hard for me to feel that people, it's hard for me to feel anybody doesn't like me, let alone you're a traitor. Are we willing to break with mother, father, sister, brother? To be rejected by man so we can be accepted by God. So I so admire the work that Rabbi Cohen did. And what God did through his life, the willingness to go outside the camp. Here, hold on, I'll get the mic over there. I'll just make sure. I want to invite you to engage with this morning. Let's just close your eyes and it doesn't matter what I say. Look, I'm a dad, but you need to hear from your dad. And maybe you don't know him. And maybe he doesn't feel like a father to you. But he wants to fix that right now. He wants to fix that right now. On this Father's Day, he wants you to know that you have a Father that loves you and that is for you and that believes in you and that has a purpose and a calling on your life and that is committed to you and that will be faithful to you and that will stand up for you and defend you and that will come and discipline you when you need it and will raise you up in due time. You need to know that your dad has his eye on you. So this morning, if you have never known it, you have a Father in heaven. We saw it. We come to the Father through the Son. We come to the Father through the Son. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." We come to the Father through the Son. And so you need to hear him calling you this morning. You need to hear that invitation. Come follow me. Come follow me. Oh. And if you've never done that, you've never said yes to him, you haven't had your first yes. You never started with your first yes. I want to invite you to do that right now. I want you to say yes to him. I want you to say yes. Say, just pray this with me and say, "Father, thank you for sending your Son that I could know you, that I could come to you. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for dying for my sins. Oh, that I could be holy and righteous and justified. I choose to follow you. And I say, here I am. Send me. Send me. Use me. Whatever you have, I want it, God." And we pray this together as arrows in his quiver. Amen. We pray this together in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.